Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out of the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Boy Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C. Murray.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Randy Rand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each of the rappers are coming up, getting put on. We need the platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizards.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow design. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows. Plenty of content for you to do. Everything free, the devil is free. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
We got
trouble
with
these,
we brought our bitch, we represent. All them chillers on the mic, and we show love to all you fans. Baby, keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm. Come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop, AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hips. Tupac and B, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's the Murder Master Music Show. Free the homie gangsta, bro. I see these rappers on the streets. I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is episode 454 of the Murder Master Music Show, and we got Hellraiser of Sons of Man. We're going to bring him on in a second. Let me bring on my co-host, Pittsburgh Pat. How you doing, brother?
Man, better than ever, Prez.
Definitely. You put together a dope show for us tonight. Man, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about our guest before we bring him on?
Man, Hellraiser, man, I've been a fan of his for a long time, man. He's a Wu-Tang affiliate. He's a member of Sons of Man. And he was always one of the guys that stuck out to me when it was, like, the Wu-Tang affiliates, like, outside of the, you know, core members. And, man, this dude, he's
dope.
Collaborated with a lot of people, has a lot of side projects. You know, he got a group with my man Tragedy Gaddafi. I mean, this dude got a lot of history, man. Perfect dude to talk to, man. Been around a long time, too. It's an honor to have him.
Definitely. Let's bring him on without further delay. This is Hellraiser, Sons of Man. How you doing, bro?
Yo, peace, wings up to the brothers. What's poppin', family? How's everything
man.
Going, man? We in Pittsburgh, where we at, man?
Show.
Man, we're all over the place, man.
That's the best way to do
Pittsburgh.
It.
My co-host is
hip-hop
in Illinois.
Is global. It's universal language. Hip-hop is universal
yes,
language. No matter what country you go to, somebody's going to relate to that.
Yes, sir, man. My co-host actually put together a compilation a few years back, and it featured artists from how many different countries, Prez? Was it 15 or something?
15 plus, actually.
Yeah,
15 plus different countries, about 120 artists. So it was pretty good.
120 different artists? That's what I'm talking about right there.
69
That's
tracks.
What I'm talking about. That's the way to get the culture across the planet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, hell yeah.
Sir, man. The top's universal, man. You know what I'm saying? But you being from New York City, what part of New York are you from? You from Red Hook?
I'm from Brooklyn. That's where I'm playing. From the planet Brooklyn. When it comes to New York City, Brooklyn is a planet.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. You've been around a long time, man, just to give them a little history lesson, man. When did you get your start? What was your introduction?
I got my start when I was a teenager. I was like 14 years old, 12. I was a little kid, man. And, you know, because my oldest brother, he was a artist, you know what I'm saying? He was a rapper. And MC. Rapper wasn't even nothing we used to use back then. He was an MC. E-M-C-E-E. That's the way it was. He was an MC, and my cousin was a DJ, DJ Van Der C. This was like the early 80s. This was the 80s. and then Run DMC and all that was out. And I admired it. I used to honor that because I used to see the cassette tapes, and I was, you know, like, what's that? I was always like, what is that? I was always, like, how a little kid would be. I was astonished by all that. Like, what are you doing? What is that? Because back then it wasn't no CDs and none of that even existed. It was either vinyl or cassette tapes. That's all we had back then. That's all it was. It was on cassette tapes. And I think some of the best albums of hip hop came out on cassette tapes.
Think about it.
It came out on cassette tapes. And then after that, then everything started going to vinyl. And then after vinyl got worn out, then it went to CD. When CD got overrated, then it went to MP3s. It got digital.
Yeah.
It got digital. But the best albums of hip-hop came out of it was on cassette tapes.
You talking like the Run DMC era, like Juice Crew, Rock?
Absolutely.
That
the EPMD, Unfinished Business, exactly.
Mm.
Cassette tapes.
Yeah, I feel you, man. Kool G Rap, he's my favorite artist of all time, and then a lot of those guys that we just mentioned,
MC Shan,
also fall on that list, man.
Mm-hmm. KRS-One, The Blueprint. He came out with The Blueprint, too. Remember that?
Yes,
My Philosophy and all that was on there. My Philosophy, that was key. He was a monster. Crazy monster. And that was Eric.
Now,
Eric B. and Rakim was on cassette tape. That was a cassette tape.
Yeah.
Eric B. for president.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that shit still holds up to this day, man. Like when I go back and listen to it, it sounds a little older and shit, man, but when you really listen to what those guys were saying, man, like, that shit laid the foundation for what the hip-hop became. You know what I mean? Just the lyricism that cats like Rakim and G-Rap had, man, that they were way ahead of their time, man.
Yes, you know who also was a monster of that era? Big Daddy Kane. Don't slip on that. A lot of these rappers today jacked off of Big Daddy Kane. They ain't even know it. And their whole style come from that. Their whole style came from that.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And like some of the artists I listen to, that Big Daddy Kane's that one guy that they'll never say that they're better than. You know what I mean? Like Kane, Rakim, G-Rap, like those guys.
But you know, there's a lot of subliminals going on back then, back in that era. There was a lot of subliminals being thrown at each other. Like a lot of people didn't know that it was real subliminal between Rakim and Kane.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, and I actually wanted to talk to you about some of that, man. Now you came in to, like, the Wu-Tang family win, and, like, was it around, like, the mid-90s, like, 96, something like that?
Before that, it was, like, 91 or something, too, real early, the early days. When I first met my family, they was just all doing Into the 36 Chambers.
So you were around when that was being created?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, now here's where you said plays into what I wanted to talk to you about, man. Now, coming up in that time, and I think that hip-hop lacks this right now. While we mention great albums like that Wu-Tang album and Nas Illmatic, AZ Do or Die, Ready to Die by Big, Reasonable Doubt, Jay-Z, those albums are so great, but I think the reason why they're so great is because they kind of competed with each other. They, like, when someone put out a dope album, it was a response to the album that was dope before it. So the competition aspect is what I think made all those, and we got to mention Mobb Deep too, is what made all those albums so classic, was because they were trying to outdo the guy before them. Now, there's always been the stories out there about the Wu-Tang and Biggie, you know, not like having beef, but, you know, there was a little bit of friction there. But Raekwon, I remember him saying that, you know, Biggie was dope and he just wanted to be dope like Biggie. Now, what can you tell us about that era? Now, you said you were around for 36 Chambers and everything.
What that era was, who's going to be the best coming out of New York City at that time? That's what it was. Everybody wanted to be the king of New York. That's what was the problem. Everybody wanted to be the king of New York, no matter if you was coming from Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, or Staten Island. No matter wherever the hell you was coming from, everybody wanted to be the king of New York. So it was like the World Series of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody came out of that era. Everybody.
Indeed, man. And I think that's why there's so many timeless classics from that time period. It's just because they all kind of helped each other in making a dope album because everybody was trying to be the best. I think we lack that a little bit in hip-hop nowadays.
What was it like to, during the recording process of the 36 Chambers? I mean, it had to have been a phenomenal experience to witness that. Did you guys know you were making magic at that time?
We wasn't afraid to be ourselves. We were just being ourselves back then. Now, today, everybody's trying to do what somebody else did. And it started going on in a certain time season in the 90s, too, when Snoop and Dre dropped the Chronic. After that came, then everybody wanted to sound like that. Because they figured, oh, it's gonna sell more records, and then everybody wanted to use a singer. Remember, the era was a singer on your hooks, the chorus was a singer, and you had one of those. That era was like the main thing was going on. They was using those samples, and then it was like a singer on the hook. Now it's supposed to be like your so-called the radio songs. That was the radio songs. You had to have a radio song on your album back then. And at the same time, you know, my family, we wasn't afraid to be ourselves. We was ourselves. And the way we was, if you was to run up on us in person and meet us, that's how we was in the studio.
Yeah.
And it became
no
a
doubt,
trend.
Man.
When it got public, it became a trend after that.
Yeah, that's what always attracted me to the entire Wu-Tang family was there were so many people, but the individuality was insane, how everybody was so different. The styles were different. The personalities were different.
Man,
I
when niggas see
big
Ghostface came out with the damn stocking cap over his face, they went crazy over that kind of set.
Old Dirty Bastard. I mean, you can never recreate that.
You would never ever be able to redo that again. That's something that would not happen.
Yeah, and you
Old Dirty
couldn't act
is
that
one of
either.
A kind.
Without
one of
a
kind.
Doubt.
Like,
you couldn't act that either. Like, he was just so real, man. Can you give us a little insight on Old Dirty Bastard, man? Like, some of your fondest memories of Old Dirty?
Wow, when we did the song with Shining Star with Earth, Wind, and Fire and Wyclef, that's one of my best times in my whole career. And because I learned so much from him, because he taught me so many things. And he's the phenomenal artist, the word artist. And he taught me a lot of things, and like not to be afraid of certain things, and that most artists is today. And see him create the creativity in the process. You'll probably see some of that in my movie too. And the creativity process of that was crazy. Crazy, crazy.
Crazy.
Because we was in the studio with the legends of music, pretty much. Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, Verdeen White and Morris, Philip Bailey, all of them was in the studio with us. Wyclef Jean was there doing the beat for us. And he's another genius, too.
Through Wyclef?
Yes, he's a genius, too. And that was like one of the most phenomenal times of my whole career, seeing that kind of magic in the studio happen. It was amazing. And it showed in that song too. It's one of my favorite songs that I made in the whole game. Shining Star with Earth, Wind, and Fire, ODB. Yep. That whole album, The Last Shall Be First, Sons of Man first album, that whole album. That whole creativity of that whole album was fun and magic. And learned so much after doing that album, too, about the whole game. Learned everything about the game after that.
No doubt, man. That album, when you guys came out with that album, to tell you the truth, I didn't know what to expect. To me, it was one of the albums that stood out as far as Wu-Tang affiliates went. And I thought that you guys kind of stood on your own. You know what I mean? It didn't, you know, sound like a Wu-Tang album necessarily, but it did have shades of the Wu-Tang in it. You know, like you could hear it in there. But I just felt that that album, it exceeded all my expectations. And that album did pretty well, too. It charted, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And the thing about that was that when that album, we came out, I believe it was 1998 for that. And the hip-hop game at that season was ridiculous. And yes, it was real crazy at that season. And we had to move out of New York to record the album. We lived in California when we recorded the album. We had to move to California. So
wow.
We ain't do nothing but right.
That album was made in California. Wow.
Correct. We recorded that in California, and we all lived in California when we did the album.
Wow. I never knew that, man. That's dope. Now around that time, 1998,
mm-hmm.
Now you've been around for a while at that point, and what was the climate like in New York during the East-West thing? Now, did it get...
Wow, but that...
Did it
see,
get
now
crazy,
you caught on.
Like...
That was the exact season of that whole time. That was exactly what it was. So that was that whole thing with the whole... With the Biggie, Pac, Tupac thing was going on, and that East-West mm-hmm. shit started up. And we was living out there. You know what's so funny? We was living in California while that whole shit happened. I remember we was doing that album when that shit happened. We was doing that album. We came back from the studio. When we got back from the studio for that day, right? I had all these voicemails on my phone. So I hit play, like, what the fuck is all these people calling me for? I had a bunch of messages about these people freaking out, yo, are y'all okay, are y'all this, all that. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then they're like, don't go here, don't go to this spot, because so-and-so just got shot. And we just came from there, so it was like, don't go to this restaurant, Jerry's Deli, all this shit. So we like, wait a minute, this is weird. Because we just left there. We just seen all these people. So now I'm calling New York, and they telling me, they're like, yo, so-and-so's on the radio. The niggas are saying that Biggie got shot out there. Are y'all okay? We like, nah, we good, man. Everything is all right. And I'm like, who the fuck is all the way out there? And then when they started telling me names, I'm like, yo, that's funny. I'm like, they was just out here with us. How the hell did they even get there that quick? And we stayed. Now, we're not getting on planes and leaving and all this shit that's happening right now. We staying right here. We live here now. So what makes sense would it go back for? Yeah, man, it was really funny then. Real funny.
Wow. You were in Los Angeles the night Biggie was shot.
All that shit, yeah. We had just left the restaurant, the damn Jerry's Deli, eating breakfast. We just cut out from there, and then we went to the fucking waffle. What's that shit? The waffle place. We was eating there. We was there eating. Roscoe's. We was in Roscoe's chicken and waffles. I remember that.
Roscoe's chicken and waffles.
Yeah, we was in there eating, and then the phones, the calls started coming about, yo, did you hear what happened? And we like, what you mean? We just left that damn area. We just left the club. What the hell are you talking about?
That's wild.
That shit was like a little New York over there. And that's why it was so weird, because it was like, how the hell did all this just happen when we just was all there? And it happened like that too fast. And it was like, that's weird. It was very weird. What was even more weird was that all the so-called gangsters was talking shit in New York. They had left Cali. So what the hell? That don't make no sense. Like, the hell you leave and you so gangster? Should have stayed your ass here if you was going to be doing all that shit. Yeah, because we stayed. We not going nowhere. Shit, we staying here. Plus, my Cali people was not, they wasn't going for that. They're like, nah, y'all good. Y'all ain't going nowhere. Ain't nobody doing shit to y'all. We stayed. Sons of Man was good. We was good. We stayed. Because I remember, matter of fact, so much going on that night. Because we just was backstage somewhere. We showed somebody a damn. We was watching something, and it was funny because he was watching it. Then the next day, what was he watching that night? Oh, I know what it was. I had this, me and Priest had this damn, we had this damn Illuminati tape. We had the Illuminati tape because we just, me and him, had met the dude, the guy, the main one, the Anthony Hill, the dude. We met one of the main dudes, Anthony Hilder, Joint Maxwell. We met the nigga. And we got
Hilder. Interviewed Hilder. I know who you're talking about, man. He coined the phrase the Illuminati in the 60s. He used to put out records about them. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Crazy as fuck.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's dope.
Absolutely.
Shit, man.
We was watching that shit somewhere backstage with somebody. And then the next thing you know, after we left that shit, the next thing you know, we started hearing everybody's songs was Illuminati. We're like, what the fuck? We're like, damn. Nobody knew about this shit. Now all of a sudden, everybody talking about it. And if you remember on Killer Priest album, Heavy Mental, we was talking on, I think the song is called Tai Chi. Tai Chi, I said it's 9-6. Beware of biochips, my hit harder than slave whips, like I waited to give tips. From Egypt to sea ships to being chased by New York cops out the precincts. I was talking about microchips and all that because we already seen it already. We already knew about all that in 90. That was like way back, 94 sometime. We already knew, that was like 96 when I spit that. And we knew about the microchips. We knew about everything. Everybody thought it was a conspiracy theory until it started happening. It wasn't a conspiracy theory. It was a real deal.
Yeah, once it starts happening, they can't really say nothing, can they? Once they see
it became real deal, Holyfield. It became so real deal, Holyfield. Tupac came out and said, "Don't kill Illuminati." He even came out with it. I was like, yeah, boy. Woo, that's on. Yes. Mhm. A lot of people didn't know what he was talking about, but we did. They ain't know nothing what he was talking about, but we knew exactly because we had all that. When we was living out there, we had all that stuff. So we knew exactly what he was talking about. We know where it came from and everything.
Wow.
And everybody's like, yo, what is that? What is that he's talking about? We like, man, it goes deep, man. It's not no quick stuff you can learn like that. So you're going to really have to invest your time into this. If you want to learn it, you're gonna have to invest some time in it. It's not a joke.
And many people nowadays, they think it's a fad, or they think it's a trend to be talking about the Illuminati. They don't even realize what they're talking about.
Exactly. That's what's crazy, right?
But you guys were breaking this down. You guys were breaking this down 20, 25 years ago. Man, how does it feel, though, now, 2017, to see that the majority of the stuff that you guys were learning about back then has come true?
Well, it goes far because it goes into so deep. It's so deep how a lot of things in America is based on Freemasonry. Mostly everything.
Yeah.
The Pentagon is at the center of a pentagram. It's like the top of it, and also where the White House is sitting too. All that stuff is based on astrology things too. They're doing some real evil things. And that's why the Pentagon is for a war. It's for war.
Yeah.
You know, that's a five-point star. That's almost a satanic star. And
a lot of people, can't make those connections. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can see how the streets are laid out in D.C. and all that, and all the different things that go back centuries. People can't even make those connections because they're too wrapped up in their iPhones and the modern technology. Basically, they're being blinded on purpose.
That's exactly why they made that shit, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly why they made it, because they're like, people starting to wake up and getting smarter. They're getting smarter and they're starting to wake up for some reason. So we got to throw in a new distraction.
Bread and circuses, man. Bread and circuses. You know
it's a new distraction. Because it wasn't part of the plan that hip hop was going to be so educational. That wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah. And you see it, and I've talked about this many times on the show, where I'll hear a guy that the example I always use is Saigon. When I heard Saigon, I'm like, this dude is next, because he had all the ingredients. You know what I mean? He was lyrical, had good concepts to his record. He was creative.
Yeah,
but
Saigon
he also had like that.
Dope. And he's a real New York hip hop artist. He's fucking dope, man. And I know Sai. We need to get some work done, as you just reminded me of that. And
I've been trying to get him on the show, man. That's my favorite artist. Him and D-Rap, my favorite artists, man. And I seen it with him, man. And when I heard his album, and I heard how deep it was and the shit he was talking about, I was like, well, no one's ever going to hear this shit. Like, this shit isn't going to be as big as it should be, because it seems like nowadays when you're actually teaching in your music and talking about real shit, they sweep it under the rug, man. They don't want
secret.
You to hear it. Yeah, they
don't
want you to hear it, man. And I think he kind of knew that, because he named the album The Greatest Story Never Told. And what he meant by that was, man, most people might not hear this album, because it's just not, they're not going to let it happen. We've seen it with Dead Prez, too. You know what I mean? Dead Prez is the new Public Enemy plus some. And where are they at? Like, they don't get no love on the mainstream outlets, man. Instead, we got these dudes, I don't want to go into them dudes, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like,
that's because that's by design. They want that done to the people by design on purpose.
Without a doubt, man.
Look what happened. Like, look what happened. The more that music came, the more that music, the more feminine the males got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just saw yesterday the women became more masculine.
The women became more masculine, and the men became more feminine than the women. That's what happened with if you look when a certain music started coming out.
Young M.A., Young Thug, I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
Like you go dressed like, you can't even get in a club right now looking like a hip-hop person.
Yeah, you're right, man.
Yeah, you got a hoodie, baggy jeans, they're going to tell you can't get in. You were like, so what the hell is y'all playing all that music for? And, they made skirts a new trend now. That shit is crazy. And if you ain't mad, that's a problem.
Couldn't agree with you more, man. And that's why it was important for me to get you on this show, man, because you've been in this game for a long time, and you're talented enough to do any kind of music that is the new trend, and you chose not to. You chose to stay true to yourself, and I respect the hell out of you for that, man. And your shit's dope. Matter of fact,
thanks a lot, beloved. Because you know it means a lot to me when it's recognized. Because you know I don't want to be busting my ass doing all that damn work and nobody paying attention to the shit. Because then that's when it becomes stressful.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, I love all your shit, man, but you make it hard to keep up with you, man. You got so much material out there. It's insane, man. But one of my favorite things that you did was the group with Tragedy Gaddafi in it.
The Black Market Militia.
Black Market Militia, man. That's one of my favorite projects that you're involved in, man. Can we expect that in the future, another project with you guys?
Yep, because we all just was talking about that recently. About we had dropped recently something called the Black Letter. The Black Letter. You may find it on SoundCloud or my Audio Mac or one of those places or Mixcloud. So it's called the Black Letter. We dropped the Black Letter just to let it know that we still around and we're coming back. So get ready. And because we had all, after that, we had all came out with our projects after that. That was the plan. And that's what we had followed through with doing after that. We came through with that plan, and then, you know, everybody came out with their solo albums. William Cooper came out, Timbo King dropped his, Killer Priest dropped The Offering. And if you didn't get that Offering album, I don't know where you was at, what you were doing in hip-hop.
That album is excellent.
That Offering,
man,
right?
The Offering, man.
Priest,
that album is, that's Priest one of
dropped
the best
The Offering.
Album, love
I dropped
that album.
The Renaissance Child. I dropped Renaissance Child. Yep. Priest dropped The Offering. Yes, and Timbo King came, right? And then William Cooper just came. So everybody came out.
Now, your album, The Renaissance Child, that's a dope-ass album, man. I think that's my favorite album by you, man. Now, that's the album that got, like, R.A. the Rugged Man's on it, Talib Kweli, Razzcast, Tragedy's on that. Like, yeah, man, you even got production from MF Doom on there. I thought that was so dope, man, when I saw that, man. Like, that whole entire album, that and The Offering, man, those two albums, man, those albums will be forever dope. Like, I can play them 20 years from now, man. It'll feel like the first time I bumped them. Every time I listen to them albums, man, from start to finish,
shit's
every
timeless.
Single time.
Some people
timeless.
Have the ability
it's
to
timeless.
Be timeless.
They're timeless. They're timeless, timeless projects. And they were really, really fun creating them, too. Because you know how hard the game was? Everybody was sold out in that era.
Yeah.
The whole game was sold all the way out. All the way out. And you put that kind of stuff on, dudes will run away from you. They're like, yeah, that's too hard. They're like, what the hell is you in hip hop for if this is too hard? You need to be doing something else then. And that's too hard. How is this too hard? This is hip hop. And
that's what it's supposed to be about, yeah.
Yeah, they don't feminize whole game.
Those two albums, those are like the epitome of hip hop, man. Like, especially the time period you guys put that out, them albums out. I'm like, that's exactly what we hoped hip hop would sound like today. You know what I mean? And if you turn on the radio, you don't hear that. But if you know where to look for it, you're satisfied. Like, we all grew up loving the 90s style hip hop. If you know where to look at it, all that stuff's still here plus some. You know what I mean? And those two albums are perfect examples of that. That you could point to those albums and be like, look, man, it ain't all about the, you know, sipping lean and throwing money at strippers.
Because it's not.
You know what I
mean?
Like, this is real hip-hop, and this is the shit that we hoped it would be. You know what I mean? I think he dropped Renaissance Child when, like, probably around, like, 2007, 2008, something like that.
It was 2007, absolutely. I put out two albums that year. I put out Razor's Ladder, too. Razor's Ladder came out that same
year. Yeah. Hell yeah, that's the joint you got with, like, Ill Bills on that, Crooked Eyes on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a dope album, too, man. It's about Red. Man, hell yeah, man. Those are dope albums, man. Like, that's what made me a fan of you being a solo artist, man, with those two albums. I'm like, damn, man, this dude is official. Like, and that's what got me stuck listening to your shit, man, because I was always a Sons of Man fan. You know what I mean? And then when I heard Killer Priest, The Offering, I'm like, man, these dudes are something else, man. Like, this is something special. These ain't just dudes that are, you know, Wu-Tang affiliates. Like, these dudes are, this is some hard shit. You know what I'm saying? But look, man, let's go into one of the songs you sent us, man. Take a little break.
Grandmother Praise, man. Why don't you tell everybody about this one, Hellraiser?
Grandmother Praise. I just wanted to do something family-related in music for everybody. Because, you know, most people act like they got to hide that part of their life from the public, from the world. I don't think you should be like that.
Yeah.
I think it's something that everybody can relate to when you just do things like that, you know.
Hell yeah!
Because a lot of people doing good in their life right now because of their grandmother prayers, and see that's the kind of thing why I was like, I got to make a song like that.
Hell yeah! Well, here we are. We're gonna be right back with Hellraiser. Don't go nowhere. It's Murder Master Music Show.
Grandma 77, she told me hell we headed, so she have conversations with heaven. Granddaddy still love his caddy, and how the young girls keep him happy. Even though he married, he nasty, but he fight to keep the family tight. Make sure the mortgage is paid, his food, clothes, phones, and lights. Up north, he got a daughter that's alone at night. She fell in love with the modern day New York City life. 41, working two jobs for money to come. Got a daughter 16 and a son 21. She try to school him how to street, love to swallow the young. She try to keep him out of beat, but he follow the gun. He got two felonies and a baby that's one. And ain't nobody gunshot, ain't making him run. On the lowest man hitting his sister. Meanwhile, she got a cat that's on Rikers Isle, sending him pictures. Tattoos on her back and she hang with strippers. Getting paid young age on the stage with liquor. Got a crush for them Escalades and laid with killers. That's why grandma praying that the Lord forgive us. Come on, grandma praying that the Lord. Praying that the Lord forgive us. And that the Lord forgive us. Come on, grandma praying that the Lord. Praying that the Lord forgive us.
Praise the peace, God.
Hey yo, raised one grandparent, love never transparent. Moms wasn't caring. Pops murdered in a mess hall. Home, he was popping up gang's doors. May he lay to rest, Lord. Stretch, Lord, still out here. Seen his done damn laid out here. Face and his mouth weird. Look gone. Sean was his birth name. Grandmom's hurt pain. Calls from the clink. Sean don't think. Every day it's a scrap or a gunshot. Smack on a slum block. Run cops. Young playing 64. Now he spray 64. God sent strictly war. Nana, this banana clip saves my soul. She prays to the day he's cold. And yo, she's an old hood angel. Make me wanna pray too. For real.
Grandma praying at the Lord. Praying that the Lord forgive him. And that the Lord forgive us. Come on, Grandma, praying that the Lord. Praying that the Lord forgive us. And that the Lord forgive us. Come on, come on, come on.
Man, that's what I'm talking about right there.
Hellraiser, that's music, man. You know?
Hellraiser, yeah, that's some music right there. Hellraiser, I want to ask you this, brother. How did you get the name Heavenraiser, man? I read somewhere that you had some type of illness or something. What happened?
I survived a brain aneurysm in 2010.
Damn.
I could have been out of here. I could have been. I could have died from that shit. It was April 6th.
How did it go down? I mean, in case anyone's listening, like even myself, man, what are the warning signs? Can you describe what you went through to our listeners?
That's what our movie's about, too. The movie, we got a documentary coming out called Risen, the story of Sharon Hellraiser Smith. It's about the documentary of my life story, pretty much my whole life story, from all the way to the beginning of what we was talking about today, and from my recovery from the brain aneurysm all the way up to today, to right now. And that movie be out coming soon too. And it works in different ways. You can be born with it, and but anything could, certain things could trigger it off to happen. You can be born with it, and then something could trigger it off to happen.
So it could be just lying dormant for years and years, and then all.
And you won't even know it. And you won't even know it. It's just something could suddenly trigger that whole shit off for you. And That's exactly how it happened.
Wow. Well, I'm definitely glad that you made it, man, because a lot of people don't, you know.
That's how my brother passed away. That's what happened to my brother.
Rest in peace to him, man. Rest in peace, because I know how serious that shit is, and I know where that's coming from.
Thank you, man. Now, you was talking about your documentary, man, and this seems like it's going to be something major, man. It's directed by Frank Meyer of the NBC.
Yep. That's the only person I would have let that I know when it comes to film and stuff like that, that where my life story is something very delicate and serious to me. I don't trust anybody with that kind of shit. And it had to be somebody that I know have the experience to present it the proper way to the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. This seems like a pretty... pretty dope documentary, man. I see here that it got Papa Wu, RZA, Sons of Man, R.A. the Rugged Man, Raf Cass in it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I had let go. The movie trailer is out right now. It's a website you can go visit right now. It's called RisenDocumentary.com. RISEN. RisenDocumentary.com. And you can watch the movie trailer right there right now.
Cool, man.
I just was at the IFC. I went to the Independent Film Festival, and to show the trailer, and the feedback was powerful. Real, real, real powerful on it, too. It's not like it's a fake story.
Yeah. And it's good to see you be able to tell your story like this on such a level to where, you know, it will be seen by the masses, you know. Because everybody deserves a story.
The average person would have wanted to hide this from the world. But from their fans, they didn't want to hide it, and I don't want them to know all that kind of stuff. I'm like, nah, what would I do that for? And the way Frank knew how to handle it, I love Frank. Frank Meyer, man, is a very, very important person in my life. And the way he knew how to handle it, it comforted me with the whole thing. Because if a stranger would have came up to me and said, hey, I want to do a movie on your life story, I would have looked at him like it was crazy. Like, yo, you got to be out of your mind. Then I'm going to give you my whole life story and I don't even know you. You're going to run around with that? That's not going to happen. Because then when you get over there, you're going to be getting your own ideas of what to do when I'm not around. And the influence start happening. Nope, I can't have that. And Frank spent years, like it's about a good 10 years of us filming that. And like it's no stranger, we've been doing that for years and years of my career. And we've been gathering the story. And so there's so many different parts of me that you're going to get in there.
Yeah, man, I'll definitely tweet that link out and so people can check out that trailer, man. I definitely want to check this documentary out, man. Your story is very interesting. And seems like this is going to be a very well-done documentary, man. You got some big names involved in it. And man, you're a busy dude, though, man. I mean, I could have a whole episode on just talking to you about all the different collaboration albums you've done, man. Album with Shaheem, with Killer Priest, Heavenly Cartel. I mean, you're just doing a lot, man. But I want you to tell me about Hellraiser Music Incorporated, man. You got a label, and you got your son on there, man, Young Razor. What can you tell us about him?
Yes, Young Razor. Young Ray's Heaven's Son, which is like the he's like the, for this era, they get a taste of what real hip hop was about, and because he stayed with me. If you see him, he's always in my videos. I kept my son with me, so he knows a lot. He knows more than the average probably youth his age, and I kept him with me so he could soak all that up. And he stayed with me. He stayed with me all the time. And he's older now, but when he was young, I was planting seeds in him. And because I knew how his era was going to be in the future. And I wanted him to carry my legacy on. And I normally make a public roster of my label roster. It's a family tree that I got. Because I have different artists and acts and different things. Have you checked out the Hood Transporter series that I dropped with DJ Kenny Starr over in the south of France?
No, why don't you tell us a little bit about that, man?
The Hood Transporter is a series, is a music series that I do with DJ Kenny Starr from South of France. That's part of my family too. And it features new, different artists. And if you're not familiar with my movement, it's called Ghetto Government Officials, GGO,
yeah.
Ghetto Government Officials. And It features a lot of some majority of my artists, or label artists or, you know, all the ghetto government officials is on the hood transporters. And it's like, you know, with a mixture of new music that's out currently or exclusive that's coming out. Or new, it's a platform where you're going to hear new artists that you don't even hear on the radio or anything like that. So it's bringing back that hardcore hip-hop again, and it's putting it back in again, the originality. Because if you're a radio head, you probably don't know what's going on right now when it comes to real music. You're far away from it. And that's why I said I'm going to drop this series and do that, bring it back again to the hard, you know, genuine hip-hop again, you know, because it was going too far away for a minute. And what we was doing with it was we would drop it first in France, then bring it back to the States.
In France?
Because overseas, has, south of France. Because France has, like, France, UK. You know, me and Dr. G has a series that we was doing, too, The Coalition. We put out The Coalition first. And me and Dr. G in the UK, he's one of my producers over there. And Dr. G's producer of the whole Ghetto Government Officials album, too, he's doing with me, too. He was doing that with me, and he's doing, me and him going to do a joint together, too. And I just put out a new album with Blasta Beats over in Portugal, and it's called You Only Live Twice.
That's dope that you keep it global like that, man. Matter of fact, we got a caller from France, the homie Sin. He's on the line right now. Sinister, Lord Sinister, you're on the line with Hellraiser. You got a question for him?
Peace.
Yeah. Hellraiser, what's up? Hello, what's going on? But, yes.
Peace.
You remember the song you made, the saga with I Am? And can you tell us?
Saga. Yeah. How my brothers do, Pascal and them? How they doing, man?
Yeah.
I haven't seen them in so long, man.
Yeah, is it good? I know Akhenaton. I know him. And can you tell us about the video shoot you made? It was crazy video.
For that song, La Saga.
Yeah, for that song.
That was Timbo King and Dreddy Kruger. That's Timbo King and Dreddy Kruger. And they did the video. But I that song, I believe for that song, I wrote that hook. I wrote the hook for that song. And they did the video with the I Am. And they was in Paris. They in Paris for that. You from Paris?
Yeah, say from Marseille, southeast France.
On Marseille, the south
yeah.
Over there. Mm-hmm.
French Connection. Yeah. And can you tell us also about your album Devil's Most Wanted with your group The Last Future back in the day?
Me and Seventh Ambassador. That's my first partner that when I first started rapping. That was my first original partner in hip hop, was Seventh Ambassador. And one of our songs, the first songs that we had recorded was an EP on the vinyl. We had did a few songs. Devil Most Wanted was one of them. Another one was called Living in Hell. Living in Hell.
Yeah.
And then we did Psychic Hotline. Well, I did too. Produced by Supreme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mental Combat too. Real shit.
Yes, mental. Yeah. You know your own one. Yes. More mental combat. Yeah, we have battled each other on that shit too. And because there's an era. You see, this is how we came up in hip hop. We like, if you're gonna be battling somebody, why is y'all way far apart from talking about what all this shit? Why don't you get on a record together and battle and just call it a day? Do it like grown-ups. Don't do it like little kids and just keep talking about each other behind each other backs. That's sucker shit. Stop doing that. And if you want to battle, get on the damn record together and do it together. and they call that a battle and see who kills the beat more. And that's a real battle, the way I came up. Not talking behind your back and subliminals. Nobody know what the fuck you talking about. That's not real shit. And
talking about the Illuminati, did you read the Isis papers of Franz Chris Welsing? This crazy book, Isis papers.
The Isis papers.
Yeah. I just passed for you. Do you know about
Dr. Francis Quest Wilson? She's a
Francis Quest Wilson.
She's a deep woman, man. She's very smart, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very smart woman, man.
Yeah, a lot of literature, like Rino Karashidi, all that. It's knowledge, Kabbalistic knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the good sources to get it from too. A very good source.
Madhubuti too, all that.
Well, thank you, Shen, for calling in, brother. Appreciate
yes,
that. We got another caller on the line right here, 917. This is Fred Stack.
Yes sir, how y'all doing,
Fred,
man?
Hey, what's up, Fred?
Yo,
man, how you doing, brother?
You know, I'm trying to make it, man, but I'm good.
Yeah, man.
I'm just calling, man. I'm from New York, bro, but I'm in North Carolina right now.
Nice indeed. You're in Raleigh or Durham?
I'm in Greensboro.
Greensboro, nice.
Yeah. I was just calling, man, to give my salutes to you. You know what I'm saying, man? Anybody do this, man, and been doing it for a while and still doing it and doing it the correct way, man, I salute you all day, bro, for real.
Thanks, beloved, for that, man, for real. For I appreciate it because, you know, certain people sit there and never say nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, it's not easy to do it, you know?
Exactly. I salute you, though, bro. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks. Real talk, my brother. Appreciate that, man.
No,
I'm going to keep going hard for us, too.
Yeah, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man, because, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I wanted you on this show is because we like to tell all the stories that mean a lot to the game, everybody that contributed something to the game, and you've contributed a lot. And you still continue to contribute a lot to this day, man, when a lot of guys just conform to whatever's popular. You never did that. You stayed true to yourself, and you're still putting out dope music, man. So it was real important to us that you came on the show, man, without a doubt.
Platforms like this is what I rock with because, you know what, you can be yourself. I like to be myself when I do things. I don't like to do things that they practically give you a script to what you gotta say or what you can do when you go there. I don't like things like that. I don't get down like that. I like to be real with my people. And
Yeah, man.
Oh yeah,
we
wanna have you on again in the future too, man, if that's cool, man. We'd love to have you on, you know what I'm saying, chop it up again.
Most definitely.
Yeah, we
most
love
definite.
To keep having you on,
most
man.
Definite.
Anytime you got something,
yeah,
dropping,
I got,
man, you're
wait,
always
if you, if you missed it, me and the producer Ayatollah is a group now.
Yeah.
He raps too now. He raps. We're a group together.
Okay.
We call it Blaxploitation.
Wow.
And we dropped the first album. The first album is out right now. It's called A Piece of the Action.
Oh,
and the
yeah.
second one is coming. The second one is in the works right now. We are doing the touch ups on that right now. Working on that right now.
Well, what about
he
Sons
raps,
of Man? In the future for Sons of Man?
Sons of Man. We've been talking since my movie been going. We've been talking about that. That been coming back around because that movie had everybody get together and get. Still for a minute, because we was all different places. Everybody was scattered doing their different works. Prodigal Son just dropped a new solo album too, that has us on it too. And if you want to stay updated with our sources and stuff, you may want to go grab the new Prodigal Son album too, because that's dope too.
Hell yeah, man! What about the new Wu-Tang? You heard the new Wu-Tang?
That's my favorite album out right now. That's all I've been playing since it came out.
Yeah, it's pretty dope, man. I like it, man.
Yes, the DJ LR Mathematics did a wonderful job on the production of that whole album.
He really did, man. He really did.
That shit is a masterpiece. To come out in this era right now with that sound, it's hard work.
Yeah, it's a very... Because
the average producer is trying to transform and do what the radio is doing. And that's why I love the album to come out right now. The album's perfect for this season, because a lot of people will now understand what it was that we came from, the type of air that we have when it comes to music. It's a difference.
Yeah. No doubt. Just from hip hop head to hip hop head, did you hear the little Cypher joint the Method Man and Black Thought did on Sway in the Morning last week?
That shit was with Ricky Ricardo.
Ridiculous, man. Crazy. I don't believe what
I heard.
I
always told people you better watch Thought, because he's been like that for the longest, since he's been in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, Black Thought's just—he's on a, plateau of his own, man. That dude is incredible, man. That was one of the most incredible things I heard in a while. I shared that shit and tagged a bunch of people. I'm like, man, just listen to this shit. Like, I had to listen to it like 4 or 5 times just to like, cause they would say something that would just fuck me up, and like I would just like be stuck on one thing they said and like miss a couple bars, like, you know what I mean? Like, that shit was just crazy. And then Method Man like started speaking Spanish in the middle of his flow. Like, that shit was just ridiculous, man. Like,
Meth was always the monster. Meth has been the monster from day one. And For real, a straight monster. And with mad skills too.
Crazy skills. We took a big loss, East Coast took a huge loss this year with the death of Prodigy from Mobb Deep. Did you have any relationship with Prodigy?
We had did something for the Million Man March soundtrack together. It's called Where You At. It's like a whole bunch of different. That's the first time we got to work together. But Havoc had did production on Heaven Razor for my Heaven Razor album. Did a song over there.
Yeah.
And you know, and we good ally, because, you know, Trage is Queensbridge too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I work with QB Rap P too. That's my dude right there. Wings up to him. It's another one, you know, another dude, one of my guys right there. And, we didn't get to do as much as we wanted to do, but, you know, we was always cool, because I used to see them all the time in Loud Records, because, you know, they was on the same level as the Wu. So when we had meetings there, they was there all the time. They was there also was Big Pun.
Yeah.
We'd go there and see Big Pun was in there, he's sitting in there, and then we got him talk to them, Mobb Deep and all that shit was there. The Terror Squad, the damn, what you call it, all that shit was there.
Yeah,
that's what I mean about the 90s, man. Was just a different era for hip hop, and because some of that shit that it's not around now. It's just weird to me.
Yeah, Yeah, man. There's a lot of stuff that just the things that made us love hip hop aren't being represented on the mainstream level very often.
No, it's been. You know what's so funny? They're hiding it from you.
Mhm.
They hid it. They took it and they hid it and they buried it somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Because I hear good shit, and I'm like, man, if this dude was rapping like this in 1997, he'd be one of the top five rappers right now. You know what I mean? He'd be a top five rapper, or he'd be the next new guy. And dude will drop albums, and I just never hear anybody talk about them. I'm like, man, how are people not hearing this shit? Like, I hear some incredible shit, and it just doesn't. You know, like, there's these two dudes from New York right now, Fred the Godson and A.G. the Coroner. Those guys are dope. They're real lyricists, and, you know, they embody what we grew up listening to. And
they ain't trying to sound like whatever the radio doing. They stuck to being themselves, which is the dopest shit. They're still being themselves instead of, I got to sound like this dude because he's selling records. They smart. It's smart because they kept the focus on their whole shit, which is staying on point.
Yeah, man. That goes back to what I was saying before. Like, with the 90s, if Nas dropped a new record that was hot, Raekwon wasn't like, oh, I got to make an album that sounds like that. Raekwon was like, man, I got to make something better than that. But now, somebody drops something that sells well, everybody just emulates it and wants to sound exactly the same. And I can't even tell you dudes apart, man.
That's what's bad about this era. Everybody's a copy, which is the one that copycats you. This shit is crazy.
Now let me ask you this, man. Just because you're a hip-hop head, man, just for fun.
What's up?
Who's your top five, man? Top five dead or alive, man?
Okay, that would be KRS-One, Rakim, Ice Cube was another one. Slick Rick.
Ice.
And Grand Poobah.
Man, that's a dope top five, man. I feel Rick gets left out of people's lists sometimes, man, and I don't know why.
That's the best storyteller you ever gonna get.
Without a doubt, man. Like, that dude's something special, man. People leave
him
out
of their list. You would never get nobody in this game that know how to tell a story like him. Without it getting boring and corny, you know?
Yeah, man, without a doubt. No, real quick, I wanted to ask you this. The album that the Wu-Tang sold to the pharmacist dude, Martin Shkreli, did you get a chance to listen to that album by any chance?
Nah, because I was in recovery when that was going on.
Okay.
I remember this was 7 years ago this happened to me, and all this stuff was happening. When I came out of the hospital, I was hearing all this shit, and I'm like, what the hell is you talking about? And then I started my movie. So in the midst of all of that, then this stuff started happening. And then I'm hearing, I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, what? Wait. And that happened. And I was like, wait a minute, are you serious? And he was like some, you know, investor that really, you'd be surprised the type of fans that Wu-Tang have.
Yeah.
The stockbrokers and crazy shit. And that's the kind of shit that the market that we reached over there. And Whereas a dude just sitting on a couple million would just buy a whole album because he ain't got nothing to do with it. That's the kind of fans it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. he could just blow a couple stats on buying a Wu-Tang album like that. And for his own listening pleasure. It's that just like not like he had a label plan and none of that kind of shit. And that's for his personal stats. I should have had nothing to do with no record label and none of that kind of shit. I was like, yo, you know, I'm a big so-and-so fan. I'm going to go buy their shit. And they got a new record, and then I'm going to go get it. You know, that's that kind of shit. It's not bad, yeah. But it's just, you know, not everybody would do that.
Yeah, man. That's crazy. Listen, Hellraiser, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, man.
Yo, thanks,
like
man.
Like I said.
Give me like a nice MP3 of this show so I can send it through my feeds.
Yeah, it will be on. All our shows are archived. The website, I'll drop it in your inbox tomorrow. It'll be on the site, and you can download it on MP3, and I'm sure we'll have some stuff on YouTube, too, so you can share both links and everything. But we definitely will have the MP3 version of it.
Yes, man.
We go,
let's keep it rotating too, man. We're gonna stay in contact.
We are dead serious, man. We definitely want you back on, man. Like this, we enjoyed this interview a lot, and I mean, hell, I could talk to you for 3 more hours just based on the collaborations you've done in the Sons of Man project, and you know I could talk to you for hours and hours, man. So I definitely want you to come back on. Especially
I'm coming back.
The
you better believe that,
out,
sir. I'm
man.
Coming back because I'm gonna have more projects coming up. Matter of fact, I'm coming back because I got projects. What's coming out next? So I think I'm gonna drop in Hood Transporter 8 is coming soon too. So get ready for that. And that's gonna be a lot of surprises on that party. And get ready for the Hood Transporter 8 coming too. And so I got a few projects, label projects is going to be coming, some mixtapes, a lot of things are going to be still jumping out there. So like I said, if you don't got the first album, me and Ayatollah did, the second one is coming soon too. And the first one is out right now, Blaxploitation. It's called A Piece of the Action. And that's out. And then me and Blaster Beats just dropped the You Only Live Twice. That's out right now too. So if you're looking for some real dope, where could you get it?
Yeah.
You should be able to get it on what music platforms you use, like do the iTunes, Spotify, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, is it available everywhere? Spotify, iTunes,
yes,
Apple, you know.
It's available on those kind of platforms, everywhere digital, all the digital platforms.
Great. Now, do you have, you want to plug your Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or anything, all your social
yes,
media?
Yes, yes, yes. For my social media network links, Heaven Razor, and that's HEAVENRAZAH. One word, at Heaven Razor on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, almost every social media network platform, I'm there, you better believe I'm there. Snapchat, Facebook, same shit, and Twitters, and SoundCloud too. SoundCloud, I'm on the SoundCloud, Hellraiser Music, Inc., Hellraiser Music Inc. INC. It's on SoundCloud, Audio Mac, and Mixcloud. I'm on Mixcloud too. So Mixcloud.pev, Audio Mac, SoundCloud, all music platforms are there. YouTube, I'm there. And Instagram, I'm there. You want to discuss some real shit, do some business? Let's make it happen.
Definitely, man, and I'll definitely be in touch with you. I'll send you that link in the morning for this interview so you can spread that around for everybody. And, man, I look forward to
having you back on, man, in the future, man.
I can't wait to come back. Because I love this vibe. This vibe was official. I'll definitely be back over here, and the vibe was beneficial. I rock with y'all. So whenever we're ready to set it up, you just let me know. We make it happen.
Yes, sir. We appreciate that, man. We got one more song. This one called True Kings.
Mm-hmm. This is a song I had there for people that passed away. You know, because I lost a lot of people, man. A lot of people.
All right, man. Well, let's check this song out. And thanks again, Hellraiser, for joining us, man. And we'll be in touch real soon, brother. Thanks a lot, man.
Yo, thanks a lot for having me, man. Wings up, man.
Yes, sir, indeed. This is True Kings by Hellraiser. We'll be right back.
We're sinners, and we're separated from God.
Yeah, yeah.
For my
shorties. You know what I'm saying?
Living that ghetto life.
Israel.
Fortune 5000.
Straight up.
Big highs, the Phantom.
Razor.
Enterprise.
Hellraiser.
Maccabees.
You know what I'm saying?
Throw it up.
For my brothers that I lost before
my
I got to the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't be lit.
Big Charles. Big Glenn. Father Lord.
Shot at for Bay Sheep skins. Reminiscing on the night we didn't listen to Glenn. On the blue, smoking weed, drinking the fifth of gin. We had the same Timberlands before the winter came in. Now I begin to make a change before I see you then. In the womb of the beast, we like a season sin. To the children, it's the only way we breathe again. We never noticed it, but still the drug game is over with. You either die, go to jail for the ones controlling it. We never ship it, but always get caught for holding it. By the government, finance those who floated in. So who's the culprit? The one owning it, or who be smoking it? To those who lost souls in the game, send my condolences. Flashbacks, all the past black out for crack. The mainstream of the Spain now, and have heart attacks. Fuck these Democrats, welcome in mass, to send them back. Till we take back the almanac, plan a format. Never saw a rap or a ADAC. Hey, that.
Sell drugs to his own mother, knowing that she was a stone lover. The only coat that kept her bones covered. She so she could smoke another, shivering as she lit it, feeling to hit it. Preoccupied with getting high, her mind didn't realize she was in a prison. Cold-blooded world full of snakes and lizards. After the high, she died within a matter of minutes. And going with the wind was the spirit. The only witness to the crime was committed. Was it somebody continue handling the business? A fast black youth who had a bad attitude and rock mad jewels. Only 16, steaming the beans down the avenue. Was the least concerned about the bad news. He said he had to receive the capital. Even though it was taboo, he couldn't come short on the cash rule. Stuck between a rock and a hard place with cash rules. He explained it like it was natural, but so bug. He sold drugs for those old thugs who got coked up. Who said show them more love than those that was supposed to. My coach knows her. He yelled those pieces, he rolled up. Cops are beaming neutral like it was something he was new to. Had his beam of blast and louder than a Broadway musical. But didn't notice anything unusual. His man laid back digging his cuticles. While other people school and do. Little girls playing hula hoop. By the time he put two and two together. One pull up a redder, put on a sweater. You know the whole shit was a setup. One shot rocked and lift his head up.
True queens will survive.
You're gonna go.
Don't tell me why.
Man, episode 454 almost in the books, man. That was Hellraiser with True Kings. Man, what a guest. What a guest, Pat. I look forward to having him on again in the future. Real humble individual.
Man,
those
are the interviews that I like, man, because like if you take that interview and Crumb Snatcher and interviews like that, like those are guys that I really – like, I really fuck with those guys. You know what I mean? I've been a fan of theirs for a long time. And for real, it's those guys themselves are fans of hip-hop too, man. So, like, if you listen to the way I talk to those, like, the way I talk to Hellraiser, the way I talk to Crumb Snatcher, like, it's kind of like more of a conversation because I know those guys are fans of the culture, and plus I respect them a lot because they contribute to it a lot. You know what I mean? And they've been around a long time. And always just stayed true to the culture, and that's why I got a lot of love for those guys, man. And those interviews always go the best. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. It's always good when you got people on there that are willing to talk. Like Crime Boss, we had him on for the first time, and a phenomenal guest he was.
Yeah.
You know, same thing, like you said with Crumb Snatcher. Mastermind the other night. Guys are real humble, you know, cats, and not too many platforms is out there repping for these guys. You know what I'm saying? It's disgusting. Like you see these bigger platforms like the Breakfast Club and stuff like that, and all they want to put on are these mumble dudes or these trend chasers. It's like, what about the guys that represent talent in hip-hop? Do they even have an avenue or a lane anymore? Or is it just about being as goofy and as repetitive and as stupid as possible? That's where we come
in. Yeah, man, and a lot of the shows, they focus so much on themselves. And you know what I mean? Like, the Breakfast Club focuses so much on, like, Charlamagne.
Show up.
Yeah, and they
are,
like,
man.
It's more about themselves than it is about the actual like culture. That's why I always respect Sway, because Sway don't have a gimmick. Sway's just a hip hop guy with a show, brings on dope rappers, and you can tell they respect him back. You know what I mean? But other shows, man, they just focus on the gimmick. You know what I mean? You gotta focus on the fucking culture, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's what makes the shows stick around for a long time, is when they represent what they're supposed to represent. You know what I mean?
That's why, you know what I'm saying, to all these cats, I mean, you got a lot of these non-factor sidelines dudes with opinions. Oh, you should do it like this show, or you should do it like that show. It's like, no, man, why don't you just look at the archive we got and fucking respect it. Don't be telling us how we should do it. Just respect what we're doing and what we're contributing to hip-hop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if not,
man,
then go jump
the interview
on
what we just did
that you want to listen to. Because we ain't that, and we're never going to be that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. And look, man, the reason why I don't ever listen to people say I should do or I shouldn't do is because, look, man, like an interview like we just had, I had like a couple things. I always just write down a couple things, like just one words. You know what I mean? Like little bullet points, like, hey, make sure I talk about this, this, and this. Like, you know, like things I want to make sure I don't forget to mention. Well, in my head, I'll be like, if I talk about this, it'll probably lead to this, blah, blah, blah. Well, we got a whole different conversation out of the guy. Like, most of that interview we just did, we talked about shit I didn't even plan on talking about. Like, I had no idea he was in L.A. when Biggie died. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, if
I
was trying to focus on trying to be, like, another fucking radio show or some shit, we wouldn't have got that dope-ass story out of him. I would have had some fucking bland-ass questions to ask him and all that dumb shit. You know what I mean? But that's why we do it the way we do it, man, is because it's more of a conversation than just an interview, man. Like,
yeah,
we ask questions,
that's
but
why
we also
I
have
turned down the source, brother, because they wanted me to do story form bullshit. When you do story form as a writer,
then you make it about you instead of the artist. I always like Q&A because it's like, hey, man, let me get a deeper insight into who you are as a person so we can relate that to your fans and to our readers versus, Ludacris walked into the room and his diamonds were glistening. Man, fuck all that shit.
Yeah.
We're going to focus on what's important, what our fans and our listeners want to hear. So, yeah, man, most definitely, man. Great show. I'm glad
you want to know. Like, I'm a fan. Like, I'm a fan of Hellraiser. So I ask him questions, like, that I want to know. So, like, you know, I would think that other fans of his would want to know. And who knows? My question might spark something else in his mind. Like, it might remind him of something. Like, it just happened with the Biggie story. You know what I mean? Like, I just asked him a question about 90s hip-hop.
I mean, you know, you got a lot of these guys now. I'm going to tell you what happened, because when me and Hellraiser was chopping up about Illuminati, what happened was for years people were talking about it and it was a serious thing, which it is a very serious thing. People are under control. They don't even realize it. But then they switched it around to a fad, and you got these guys, you know what I'm saying, anytime something happens, they're Illuminati did it, Illuminati. It's like you fools don't even know who the Illuminati is. You know, he was breaking it down about Freemasonry and all that stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'd love to have him on the Church of Reality show as well in the future and chop it up about that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because that stuff's real, you know. Great show. Great show, Pat. Thanks for hooking that up. Tomorrow we got another great show. We got a Houston lyrical legend, K. Reno, and producer DLP. They got a new album out called Raps and Beats. Phenomenal album. I heard it. Just dope lyrics. I mean, everything they expect out of K. Reno when it comes to an album, you're going to get it. Now, this is the man that dropped 7 albums on one day. Nobody in any genre of music has ever done that before. He did it last year in November 2016. Didn't even get recognized. Hip hop completely shut it out. I personally sent it myself. A press release of it myself to all the outlets. Nobody did anything on it. And that's disgusting to me because these 7 albums they weren't just thrown together albums from somebody's vault, you know, like a box set or something. These were all original albums with super high intense lyrics, you know what I'm saying, subject matter, stories, life lessons, you know. Shit like that needs to be showcased. So I look forward to speaking to K. Reno again tomorrow. That's going to be a great show.
K. Reno should be getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, man.
He should,
you
man.
I mean?
He's social to the South Park Coalition. They've been doing it 30 fucking years. He himself's been doing it since 83. These guys need to be recognized for their abilities. You know what I'm saying? Houston Houston don't play around. People hear Scarface, you know what I'm saying? But Scarface, he'll flat out tell you, man, I don't want to be on a song with K. Reno because that's the dude that is as lyrical as can be. And, you know, people need to recognize his talents. DJ Premier knows his talents. DJ Premier.
No disrespect to anybody in Houston or anything, but, like, in 2005 when, like, the explosion of Houston hip-hop happened, man, most of those guys weren't even close to being the best that Houston has to offer. And I'm not, like, shitting on those guys or anything, man.
I know you're talking about,
I like those guys.
Mike Jones and Paul Wall and everybody.
There's a lot of guys that are just insanely talented.
Or Klondike Cat or Gangsta Nip. You know what I'm saying? All those guys in the South Park Coalition. Those guys built their reputation, almost like New York MCs in a way, because they built their reputation off battling each other deep down in the South.
Yeah, the SPC and the Wu-Tang Clan actually have a lot in common.
Yeah.
They really do. If you really break it down, like, they're dope as a group, and then everybody got a nice solo career with solid projects on it. And there's, like, all these little duos and side groups and stuff. Like, there's a lot of similarities in those two groups. And
it's just talent the whole way across the board, man. Like, I mean, like, we just talked to Hellraiser, and there's 30 more Hellraisers. Like, people that are, like, are just as talented as him in the Wu-Tang family, and that's the same thing with SPC, man. Like, I could make a case for all those guys, like Klondike Cat and, you know, 2011, like everybody, the whole crew, like Murder Juan, like all those guys are just super fucking talented, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, I'll tell you what, again, that was a great show. I look forward to having Hellraiser on again. You know what I'm saying? Definitely want to support that documentary when it drops.
Yeah.
And, man, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. What do you got for Monday in the hip-hop roundtable, Pat?
Man, well, I'm going to do the UGK episode. It's going to be UGK / a tribute to Pimp C. I'll send you some music here within the next day or so for that. But it's going to be real dope, man. I'm looking forward to it. This has been on my checklist of groups that I, you know, people that I have to pay homage to on the round table. UGK was one of the first names I wrote down. So I'm real excited to do this one. And then the following week, we're going to do a little Halloween episode.
Halloween,
you're
going to
dress
go.
Up like DJ Vlad. You know what
Definitely. Yeah, you send your carving pumpkin pictures in, people. Make sure to send in your guest pictures. And Pat will send you some prizes, special limited edition prizes. But Sunday we're going to be doing a round table on the Church of Reality. We're going to be talking about the Vegas shooting and of course, Trump and all that shit. And we might talk about the Illuminati, man. We have some people on the show that know a lot about that stuff. So, you know, we're gonna do a good show there. And then Saturday, Mac J and the lovely Velvet Rose got Underground Saturday Night, number 73, I think they're on. So make sure you tune into that, 9 p.m. Central.
We have New York hip-hop fans listening, man. We got Rock Nation's. One of Rock Nation's newest signees coming up, UFO
yes.
Thieves.
UFO Thieves will be on.
What day is that, Pat?
I believe he's on Tuesday. UFO Thieves, he'll be on Tuesday. Also, Sinister Sounds Underground Mix, the homie from France, he sent me another Underground Mix. I don't even know what fucking number it is. It's number 9. Wow, he's almost at number 10. Number 9, and it's going to be dropping either tomorrow or Friday. As far as In the Murder Mix goes, man, the reason I haven't been dropping them, they've been getting tracks. You know what I'm saying? I got about half a show's worth of tracks sent to me, and then the well went dry. You know what I'm saying? So I can't do it without tracks, man. So give me the MP3s to Prez at UGSForLife.com. You know what I'm saying? And we'll do another one of those as well. I'm not sure when Scratch is going to do a slugger. I don't even know where Scratch is. He's here or there somewhere. I know he's lurking around ready to take another victim.
Yeah.
But he's in the mix. If you need graphic art, that's the guy to go to. Go to the website, UGSForLife.com. Get your stuff mixed and mastered by the homie D-Pain. You need some beats, you got D-Tag over there doing his thing. I think Skinny Man, he's still making beats. Holler at him as well. Just go to the site, UGSForLife.com. Everything's there. Support what we're doing. Support our people. And keep supporting this show because this is the platform, you know what I'm saying, for the underground, for the pioneers, and for the legends. And for the, you know, up-and-coming cats, man. Just dope underground talent that's just starting out. If you got, you know, good mic skills, you're a dope producer, send us your stuff. It won't hurt. We might feature you on the show. You never know. Real talk.
Oh, yeah, man.
Hey, we got to get the fuck out of here, man. Shout out to Sin. Shout out to the homie Fred Stye. Oh, yeah, I do want to say this, too. We're going to give a little update. You know what I'm saying? The homie D-Tag hit me up today. The Underground Society compilation. Well, it's not a compilation. It's a group album. Dead Click's going to kick it off, man, with the first track. He says it's the hardest Dead Click track they've ever done. I'm so excited to hear that coming up. And then track number two, you know what I'm saying? I'm already putting that in the works as we speak right now. I got a few artists in mind for that, you know what I'm saying? So this project, man, the ball is finally in motion. So those of you that have been waiting on a UGS project, you're going to get it in 2018. Just support it when it comes out. That's all we ask. With that being said, man, we got to get the fuck out of here, man. Peace. UGSforLife.com.
For life.